This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes out of your day to join me. We are studying the New Testament verse by verse on this radio program and then some. Now, we're in right now a study in Revelation. We're in chapter 14. Prior to getting started, let me just give out a little basic information on this ministry. I am the pastor of Island Community Church. We are a small church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our address is 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet twice a week. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we meet Thursday nights at 6 o'clock for a short prayer meeting and Bible study. We're in Revelation. Coming up this week, we are going to start chapter 20. You're invited Thursday night, 6 o'clock. We'll catch up here on the radio shortly as we're in chapter 14 here now. Let's see. Also, the website to learn more on this ministry is wgodontheair.net. My Bible translation, which is called the EMTV, it's English Majority Text Version, is available at majoritytext.com. My New Testament translation is used by some seminaries here in the United States. And I'm so grateful that the Lord is using that translation. And I firmly believe in it. I firmly believe in what's known as the Byzantine Majority Text. That is a Bible translation that comes from all available manuscripts found in the world, not just a couple. Not just one found in the Vatican and one found in a trash can at the foot of Mount Sinai, where 99% of all Bibles today come from. Did you know that? 99% of every Bible out here today comes from a manuscript found in the Vatican Library in the year 1475, and another one that was found in a waste paper basket, which they were using to throw into the fire for fuel. Monks were using them to warm themselves in a monastery, St. Catherine's Monastery, at the foot of Mount Sinai. And it was an utter piece of garbage, and it was worthy of where it was found, in the garbage can. And most, whether it's the NIV, New American Standard, ESV, practically anything out there except the King James and the New King James, and the traditional Bibles released back, 400 years ago or so, all new modern Bibles all come from mostly those two, which I'll call corrupt manuscripts. That's for a whole nother program in another day. We're in Revelation chapter 14, and we've been looking at this. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 1, and we'll stop on verse 6. Now I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion. Now the lamb, the L for lamb, is capitalized in my New King James here, meaning the translators here think it's speaking about Jesus. And amen to that. We know that it is. We know Jesus is the Lamb of God. Out of the mouth of John the Baptist himself, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Also in Revelation chapter 5, we see a lamb. The lamb was the only one worthy to loose the seals on the scroll. So I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing on their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000. Okay, where are we going to start here today? I mentioned in our last program that there's more than one Mount Zion. There also is a heavenly Mount Zion as well. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 12. I read that scripture to you on Friday's program. The heavenly Mount Zion, which is in the New Jerusalem, which perhaps is what the Lord meant when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's a carpenter, right? He has his hammer and nails. No, he doesn't. This is a city of gold, pure gold, that's going to descend out of heaven. When we get to chapter 21, we'll see that. But my point is, there's more than one Mount Zion. My notes originally had been titled Christ on Earth, and I'll tell you what, I take that back. I believe he's still up in heaven, not on earth yet. This Mount Zion is in the New Jerusalem. This is the heavenly Mount Zion. As a matter of fact, let's turn there now again and read that text. Now, to get the context, let's pick it up. Hebrews chapter 12, let's pick it up in verse 18. I want you to see this Zion that we're talking about here is a different Mount Zion, not just talking about the city of Jerusalem here today. There's more to this Mount Zion than meets the eye. Let me read it to you. Chapter 12, starting in verse 18. It says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you, now this is verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Okay, and he's talking about something else here now. He's not just talking about Zion. He's not just talking about regular Jerusalem. He's talking about another Zion to come. Again, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Are you registered in heaven, by the way? Is there a placard there with your name on it? In church here this past week, we're in chapter 19, where it says, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's so many different responses to being called. It's just like if God called you on your cell phone. And if you look down and God called you, there's various responses you could do if someone, you know, people wonder what that word call means in the Bible. What does it mean? Jesus says many are called, but few are chosen. What does it mean, called? Romans 8:28, right? It says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. What do you do when God calls you? What could you do? What could you do if God called your cell phone? There's a couple of things I could think of. The first off you could do would be send a voicemail. You know, these snazzy new phones, they have these little special messages when someone calls. And if you're too busy, it says, the person you have called is busy right now and it will call you back later at a more convenient time. That's one way. Yes, one thing you could do. Another answer would be block. Sometimes you get these wrong numbers or these computer-generated numbers, and they keep calling and calling and calling. Well, you can call your Verizon or AT&T or Sprint, and you can block the number so that you don't have to see it anymore. You're sick and tired of seeing this number or this person call you, so you block the number so you don't have to see it anymore. The third thing you could do if God called you is ignore the call. Ignore the call. He calls and you just don't want to deal with this right now. So you ignore the call when it comes, hoping it'll go away. Hoping that this guy that's calling you, whoever it is, would stop calling you. You don't want to be called anymore. And you ignore it. And God says in his word that he will accommodate you if that's what you want. You can read more about that in the Romans chapter 1 of people who got tired of God calling them out of sin and calling them to righteousness. You can read all about the people that got tired of God calling them. The last response you could do if God called you would be answer. Answer the call. Answer the call like Isaiah, like Samuel, and say, "Here am I, Lord. Your servant listens. Here am I." Answer the call when God calls you. Let me encourage you today. When God calls you, answer the call. Be like Isaiah and say, "Here am I." You know, I read Oswald Chambers say, God didn't call Isaiah. Isaiah overheard the call. He overheard it. He eavesdropped in on that conversation and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Is God calling you today? Let's stop there for today. Is God calling you today? Have you received Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior? It says in the Bible that as many as receive him, to them he's given them the authority or the power or the right to become children of God. Have you received Jesus Christ yet? It says also in the Bible, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Have you called on the name of the Lord yet to be saved? This is all you have to do to escape this evil world and all of the evil that's about to come down here. You know, we're rapidly reaching the end of the age. It says in Revelation chapter 13, it says, all who dwell on the earth are going to worship this Antichrist whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. My question to you is today, is your name written in the book of life? If it's not, I'll tell you what, God's probably calling you and encouraging you and inspiring you to quit running and to bow the knee to the Son of God and receive him today as your Lord and Savior by just praying a prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I receive you today as my Lord. I turn and repent of my sins. I leave my sins behind, Lord. Please forgive me of all the sins that I've committed. Write my name in your book of life today. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. When you can pray that prayer and mean it and turn and repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, you also have been enrolled and registered in heaven with all the other saints. Now, we're out of time here. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll pick it up right here in our program here in Revelation chapter 14. Friend, there's no more important thing than having your name written in the book of life. Because at the end of this book, if you turn to the end, if you're one of those people that like to go to the end to find out the end of the story, that is, the children of God win. And the children of the enemy are thrown into the lake of fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio.